God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings welcomes Dr. Grant Jeffrey back to talk about his new book, Shadow Government. Brother Grant, who lives in Toronto, has been a frequent guest on this program over the years. He's a prophecy expert and has written a number of books with prophetic themes. He also has a popular weekly television program, Bible Prophecy Revealed. The new book is an eye-opener. Brother Hutchings, would you please tell us a little bit about it?
Shadow Government, How the Secret Global Elite is Using Surveillance Against You, brings us right up to date and even looks into the future about what is going to happen tomorrow. And I know we live in serious times, and one thing that we get from the telephone and our letters anymore is about where are we? Where are we going? Do you think we're going to have a communist or Marxist government? Or what do you think? And everyone is concerned. We also have this concern about what is happening in Iran or Russia, or would terrorists bring in nuclear weapons? And I think that is a matter of great concern. And Jesus said, men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things coming upon the earth. And we're right at that point in history as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And He is our blessed hope, and without that hope, I don't think we would have a hope today. But Brother Grant, it's good to have you back, and you've done a tremendous job in this prophetic scenario of the end times in this new book.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, Noah, because you're probably the most experienced prophetic commentator that it's been my privilege to meet in the 20 years that I've been involved in active prophetic ministry. You've read it all, and so your very friendly comments about the book mean a lot to me because you have a tremendous depth of experience and judgment regarding what is really vital for Christians prophetically.
Yes, Grant, I'm 86 years old now. I have a little extra in-depth about what is happening here in our own country. We certainly are concerned with everyone else about our future. But, Grant, we know the end of the story, don't we?
We do, thank God. Otherwise, it would be very hard to be optimistic. But as I mentioned to you off air, as a Christian, when we know the prophetic picture as told to us in the Word of God, while these things are very much items of concern to us as people who love freedom, who love the nature of our government as it exists constitutionally, when we see these things coming to pass, we are reminded and commanded by the Lord in Luke 21:28 that when we see these things, these prophecies coming to pass, we're to not be despaired, not be full of doom and gloom, but rather look up and lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh. And so that's always been the hope of my ministry and my wife and I in our personal life, that while we read these things that in the natural might cause you to be depressed about the condition of Canada, the United States, and Europe, the reality is if you have a confidence in the prophetic word of God, you know what it means is that Jesus Christ is really close. I've often said, Noah, that if the Antichrist is close, then the rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ is even closer. And so we do look up, looking for the redemption that's coming. And that's really tried to be the motto of our ministry, that as we see these things begin to come to pass, we are to alert people to them, but not to cause fear, but to cause hope that Jesus Christ is at hand.
Grant, on the broadcast yesterday, I think towards the end of the program, you were mentioning the precautions or steps or preparation of governments, and particularly our own government, concerning dangers that we live in today, including terrorists, nuclear weapons, But in light of all these threats to our society posed by terrorists and enemy nations, weapons of mass destruction, and other things that beset us, do all these surveillance technologies that are being put in because of all these threats, do they pose a threat to your own privacy and freedom?
Well, absolutely. As I document in the book, following the end of World War II, the English-speaking nations that were the victors of World War II together with Russia, those English-speaking nations involving the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, those five English-speaking nations decided to create an intelligence surveillance agency like nothing else that had ever existed in human history. It was called Echelon. The word echelon refers usually to a military formation where you have different groups standing behind each other in order to accomplish depth of defense or offense. And Echelon, called Project Echelon, was created officially in 1948. These nations, the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, joined together, and they decided to do something new that had never been done before in intelligence. Formerly, and with most countries, what they do is they focus their spies and their surveillance on a particular group of generals, a particular weapon system in Russia, China, or any other particular target of intelligence. But what they decided to do was something radically different. It's not that they still don't go after particular targets, because they do, but Echelon's purpose was different. They decided to create what I would call an electronic vacuum cleaner approach to intelligence. They would, from that point in 1948 on, the five nations divvied up the world so that, for example, Canada covers parts of the world, including parts of Russia, but all of South America. America covers other parts of the world. Australia, New Zealand, and Britain cover other parts. But between the five, all the world is covered. And what they do is, with radar detectors, radio detectors, basically surveillance on emails, faxes, all phone calls, landlines, as well as cell phones, every type of electronic communication you can imagine, including internet surfing, they decided they would scan 100%, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, it's not that they are interested in your particular phone calls, faxes or emails, or what you're surfing the internet for, but they decided they would use computers that, with the ability to surveil everything electronically, they would then have the computers, among these billions of messages every hour, would look for keywords about weapon systems, generals, spies, addresses, phone numbers, whatever was of interest to any of the five English-speaking nations. Each of the nations, such as the United States, would create maybe 10,000 words about addresses. America might be interested in any phone call or email anywhere in the world which mentions the White House, the president, a bomb, chemical, biological, nuclear. And so if among the billions of messages throughout the world every hour, anyone happens to mention these things in an email or a phone call, then that would be picked up by the supercomputers and downloaded to be listened to by a human analyst. The vast majority of communications, of course, would not mention anything of interest, and they eventually would be dumped. And so they're not interested in your phone call to your mother. What they are interested is picking out those few phone calls, few emails, or internet surfing of anyone of interest. And of course, if you ever become of interest to them, if, you know, a person was talking about Al-Qaeda and became of interest, then even their voice would, from that point on, trigger a downloading of their conversation. And they can identify any voice out of 6.5 billion people in the world. Now, the situation is that everything you do on the internet, email, phone calls, every phone call, every email, even your internet surfing, is being recorded. and they're looking for patterns that are of interest to national security. Europe has a similar system, so does Russia, and so does China. But the system for the English-speaking world is called Project Echelon. We no longer have privacy. What I say to people, Noah, is when you're on the Internet, when you're sending an email, when you're searching, act as if an official is standing behind you, watching. Because not that they're interested in what you do, but if you ever become of interest, they have the record of everything you've done in the past.
You're listening to Dr. Grant Jeffrey and Brother Noah Hutchings on Southwest Radio's Your Watchman on the Wall program. They'll be back in just a moment with more intriguing information. Much of what you're hearing is in Brother Grant's new book, Shadow Government. You can get a copy of it when you make a $20 contribution in the U.S., $22 in Canada. To get the 227-page book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or visit the website at swrc.com. More about the book at the close of the program. So stay tuned. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
Every person becomes a person of interest, shall we say. Like a suspect now is not a suspect, he is a person of interest. But I noticed that there has been a directive or notification that the administration has hired a special firm or some entity to make a library of all telephone calls and emails. As I mentioned yesterday, I've been to all these communist countries many times. I don't know whether this is intentional or not, but under Marxism, you know, the people would become frightened, but when their relatives or loved ones or neighbors were being arrested and put in prison, brought up for questioning, and then everybody shuts their doors, their windows, they don't speak to anyone, they become afraid. But when that happens, then the Marxists won because there was no opposition. And so everybody becomes afraid of everybody else. Do you see that happening here?
Well, I do believe that people are becoming cautious in what they communicate, you know, and to some extent, that's really wise. In fact, I warn in the book that young people now that are on these social networks on the Internet, like MySpace and Facebook, etc., and Twitter, young people have no sense of privacy the way you and I did even when we were young. Young people now freely share with their 450 best friends on the Internet their dating, even sexual experiences, their drinking, their use of perhaps illegal substances, and financial and everything about themselves, even their parents sometimes. They have no sense of privacy, and they have no sense of how this can come back to bite them. In the book, I talk about just an illustration of a possible situation. A young girl of 16 has a Christmas vacation in which she meets with a junior from college who's 21, and she has a romantic affair with a person, engages in going to taverns, and perhaps even illegal substances. She shares this with her 450 best friends on the Internet through Facebook or MySpace, and thinking that, you know, if it's only to her friends, that it won't go further. But not only can those friends pass it on to others, but for those intelligence agencies of Project Echelon and other countries, they can easily hack into anything. And so now there's a record, and 5 or 6 years later, this young girl, a brilliant student, is applying for a job, her dream job. And the Human Resources Department goes on the Internet, and either with their own sources or with the detective agencies, goes back and checks, and they discover this communication. And all of a sudden, she's lost her dream job because of what she revealed so foolishly. A few years later, she wants to marry her dream boy, whose parents decide, and many parents today do contact a detective agency to check out the prospective spouse of their daughter or son. And all of a sudden, that relationship dries up and dies. And she will never know why, But it's because the material that teenagers are putting out on the internet can come back and really destroy their lives. And people don't realize. I just talked to an executive of a company a week ago who told me he was interviewing someone who looked very promising for a pretty key position. And they went on the internet, and using their knowledge of the internet, they were able to get into his Facebook. And they discovered that he said that he was, you know, told all his best friends that he was being interviewed by this job, and they were going to offer him far more money than he would have been prepared to accept, and that they had no idea that he had some problems. And, of course, he was no longer on the list to be hired. People don't realize that not just intelligence agencies and the police of our country and others, but even prospective employers and parents of a prospective spouse can today access these kind of sites, either themselves or through a detective agencies, many of whom specialize in this kind of background searching. We are in what I call, NOAA, a surveillance society. And therefore, when we're on the internet or a phone call, we need to assume that anything that is said or written could someday come back and really cause you problems. You know, most people, Noah, do not realize, but in shadow government, I point out that when you have a mobile phone, as long as the battery is in, or as long as it's hooked into your car battery, you are continuously broadcasting your location, even if the phone is off, is constantly responding to the cells, the cell towers, as you go from one place to another, and they triangulate between one cell tower and the other and the third, and they can tell where you are, even though you're not even on the phone, within about 100 feet. And therefore, you know, if you're ever accused of a crime or involved in an investigation, the police or intelligence agencies will be able to know where your phone was, and hence probably where you were, at any particular moment during the day, on the day in question. People are mostly really ignorant of the fact that we live in a total surveillance society that is unprecedented in human history. But today, Kay and I came back from England a number of months ago. The average person in the United Kingdom is under surveillance of closed-circuit television cameras up to 500 times a day. In the back alleys of little villages, there are closed-circuit television cameras, and there are even microphones and speakers, so that if someone should become a litter bug, all of a sudden a voice comes from a speaker saying, "We saw you do that, pick it up." England, the home of democracy, has become a nanny state where they are watching you all the time. There's over 1 million closed-circuit television cameras in the United Kingdom watching people up to 500 times a day in elevators, parking lots. When we would drive along a country road, at least every couple of miles, there was a closed-circuit television camera photographing our face, the car, license plate, and our speed. And it's coming to America. It's coming to Canada. It's literally across the world. And because it's coming in creeping, most people don't stand up and say, "Wait a minute, you're proposing this?" Because it's not proposed. It just happens. There are private cameras everywhere. Now the average employee in a big company is not only under surveillance, even in the bathroom, in the change rooms, and at their desk, by closed-circuit television cameras, including microphones. But even their keystrokes on their computer are being monitored by security as to whether there's any inappropriate use of their computer, the speed with which they're working, or if they are taking off and playing games or entertaining something that is inappropriate while at work. We are living in a surveillance society. And what is significant prophetically, Noah, is that the Bible says in Revelation 13 that in the last days, no one would be able to buy or sell, work, or do anything unless they gave their full allegiance to this man, the global dictator the Bible calls the Antichrist. Now, this could never have happened in any other generation up until now. Only in the last 10, 15 years did the technology exist to monitor every communication, every financial transaction, and even your work life. But today, we're in a surveillance society. It's one of the most powerful indications of how close we are to Christ's return.
Certainly. And yesterday, Grant, you were mentioning, you know, shadow government, you know, would have access or does have access to all that you were talking about, activities and everyone's emails and computer transmission, so forth and so on. But, and you mentioned the Bilderbergers Trilateral Commission, which I think are entities of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations has about 4,000, I think, registered membership. We know what the Council on Foreign Relations controls, I think, all political candidates. So does it really make any difference today who is in charge of government, because there's one central shadow government supervising everything?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, watching a football team in which one owner owns both teams. They have different uniforms, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all under one ownership. And that's kind of the situation that we're faced with today.
Well, thank you, Grant, for being with us on the broadcast today. I certainly would encourage everyone to get a copy of your book, Shadow Government, How the Secret Global Elite Using Surveillance Against You. I've literally digested this book because it seems to connect all the dots about things you may want to know about what is happening in the world today. And now here is Brother Jerry to tell you the number to call or the address to write to get this book.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Let's begin with that web address. It's swrc.com. Phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Get Shadow Government for a gift of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. It's 227 pages in length and is divided into four parts. They are titled Technology That Destroys Your Privacy, Using Technology to Rule the World, Political Plans for Global Government, and Secret Plans to Control the World's Economy. To understand what's going on in a world many of us thought we would never see, you need this important book, which is subtitled How the Secret Global Elite is Using Surveillance Against You. The four programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for a gift of $19 in the U.S., $20 for Canadian listeners. Again, the three ways to contact us to make your contribution and request shadow government are phone, mail, or the Internet. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This program is on your station by the tax-deductible contributions you make. And I can assure you, we truly appreciate your support and prayers. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? If not, it's not that difficult, and we're here to help. Call one of our ministers to find out what God's Word says about becoming a Christian. 1-800-652-1144. Next over many of these stations is a question and answer. Join Brother Hutchings and Grant Jeffrey tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question will be Dr. Larry Spargimino. Brother Larry, are there people in the so-called Christian community who think that conservative Christians like us have hijacked the Christian faith and that we are a threat to America's well-being? Since this is becoming an increasingly popular belief, we need to do a series of questions and answers on this topic. Would you fill us in on some of the details?
Well, you're absolutely right, Brother Jerry. Those of us who hold to the inerrancy of Scripture and the other great doctrines of the Christian faith are becoming increasingly more marginalized by evangelicals, neo-evangelicals, those in the emerging church and purpose-driven church movements, and by left-leaning Christians in general. You know, we're a Christian Zionist. That's a term used for Christians who believe that God has given the Jewish people a homeland in the Middle East. It's known as the Land of Israel. Unfortunately, there are professing Christians in ever-increasing numbers who have embraced replacement theology and preterism, and who think that Christian Zionists are trying to fulfill prophecy by encouraging a war in the Middle East. Supposedly, we're trying to force prophecy into fulfillment by creating an Armageddon scenario. And because of this, supposedly, we are short-circuiting the peace process. Supposedly, we are warmongers who are encouraging the Israelis to bomb the Palestinians into oblivion. Now, there are others who believe that the standards of ethics and morality taught in the Bible, and taught by those who believe the Bible to be God's word, are really the cause of hate crimes. Of course, we don't hate anybody, but we do believe that there are certain standards of right and wrong. We believe that these standards supersede and take precedence over any human standards. If the Bible says that something is wrong, we believe it is wrong, even if the highest members of government say that it is right.
Well, what about the book by Randall Balmer, Thy Kingdom Come?
Well, Jerry, in 2006, Randall Balmer came out with a book entitled Thy Kingdom Come and Evangelicals Lament. Balmer claims that the religious right has distorted the Christian faith and that the religious right actually threatens America's well-being. Balmer's book is endorsed by Rick Warren and also by Tony Campolo. In his endorsement, Campolo claims that he loves the Christian faith. However, he also claims that he is brokenhearted because the Christian faith has been hijacked by right-wing fundamentalists.
Is the basic thesis of the book the claim that theological liberalism is a more accurate representation of the Christian faith than theological conservatism?
Well, yes, Jerry, that's precisely the view of the author. Randall Balmer claims that in the 19th century, Christians were socially and scientifically progressive. Supposedly, Christians then were on the cutting edge of social issues, such as the abolition of slavery, universal suffrage, and public education. Now, however, according to Balmer, conservative Christians have become very regressive. Conservative Christians embrace a right-wing agenda that is virtually indistinguishable from the Republican Party platform, according to this author. Balmer believes that conservatives have become regressive in their views on the environment, gay marriage, public education, and a host of other hot-button issues such as abortion. He claims that there are too many bullies in the pulpit and on Christian radio stations.
That's today's question and answer. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly magazine, call 1-800-652-1144. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and A Bible in the News or Question and Answer.